This is my radio story on Algoa FM.
Joining me, Caroline Kelleher, for this edition of Hashtag My Radio Story is wordsmith, media and communications expert and part of the family at Algoa FM, Ed Richardson. Morning, Ed.
Morning.
So, Ed, to give those listening some context, tell us about your current career and your connection to Algoa FM.
Okay, so to digging up the past. Okay, my current career is as I'm a communications consultant, a researcher. I've got a company called Cetera Communications in Borderless, Algoa. I've been working with Algoa since, I was trying to work it out, 15, 18 years.
Yes, long time.
It comes back to my initial experience with radio. I was with the SABC for 9 years. I worked on, first of all, on Springbok Radio. Some people might remember that, and
it ages me.
Then did the news. In fact, I wrote the last news bulletin on Springbok Radio, and then and then went on to the Africa Service, and then ended up on live on air doing Radio Today. I headed up the Radio Today team during the big transition. That was really exciting.
Okay, so, let's backtrack a little bit. Like myself, you're a graduate of Rhodes University,
correct,
and majors were journalism.
And psychology.
And you were carving out a career in print media, and along came radio. How did your radio story begin?
So I was in print, and I worked for the Herald when I was at Rhodes. I freelanced my way through and worked for kind of 5 or 6 different publications, and then went into print after the Army, where I was in print as well, and then doing an Army newspaper, and then went into the trade press with Martin Creamer, and then he left the publication we were on, and somebody said, why don't you join the SABC? So I joined the SABC. And that was part of my plan, in that I wanted to get a rounded experience in media. And that was what made Johannesburg or South Africa so special, is that it's the only place in the world where you could actually move. You could go from print to radio to TV, a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Always in the background. It's opportunities that arose. So I went to the SABC as a radio writer, news writer, because I knew how to write words. And then from there, within there were opportunities. I moved every year. I moved somewhere within different departments. Springbok, we used to do news inserts at that stage, which were quite nightmarish because you had a whole length of tape where you put your inserts. And you sometimes got them wrong. And then there was no way of fixing it. So ended up being invited to head up the Radio Today team during the transition.
What was one of your most challenging times at Radio Today? Because you were there during a really turbulent time.
Absolutely.
In our history.
The most challenging part was managing the bosses. Yeah. Because the team we had, the team was brilliant. They were the most senior news team in the country. They were all sort of over 35 and absolutely dedicated. And corporations have always got battles inside corporations within companies. So you had the Radio Today team, which we saw ourselves as independent from the rest of the SABC, and the SABC didn't necessarily agree with us. So it always fired 3 times. But anyway, we were always pushing the boundaries in terms of trying to keep people informed, and we were. Our advertising rate, if you go back to that, was the highest of any radio station or TV in the country at the time per second. We had very good listenership. Mm-hmm. And we kept people informed of international and local stuff. But we had the first Gulf War, the second Gulf War. We had the release of Nelson Mandela. They weren't challenging. They were exciting times. Mm-hmm. You know, if you had someone in the studio, you get a youngster in the studio, and it was all live. Nothing's pre-planned. If you went on air at 6 o'clock in the morning and you had half an hour's worth of material, you were kind of doing quite well. So it was all live.
Yeah. And of course, the days where we didn't have Google.
No, none of that.
I remember for entertainment news, you took a big book out and you said, oh, what is the day today? Saturday, 7th of April, and you looked it up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, I mean, just on the music, we were the only news show, and it kind of arose where we played music in between the items because it gave people time to reflect, but also helped us fill space. We didn't have enough budget to fill it with, mm-hmm. with words. But there, if I mean, people like Jane Bramley were brilliant at choosing the right, making a comment by choosing the right record. But you have to run down the passage to go to the record library to draw the record to actually come rushing back up. And you'd do that in 30 seconds
exactly,
or a minute.
Yeah.
It was actually great fun. Yeah. So they're saying, you know, so if you had somebody new in the studio and you had a particularly exciting day and at the end of it, they're saying, wow, I'm tired. I'm done, but that was I want to do that again tomorrow. Then you knew they were a keeper.
Yeah.
If they managed, but they were shot and they didn't look forward the next day, you said, well, you know, nice, go somewhere else. So that's the rush of live radio.
There is nothing like it.
No,
it is live. You only get one chance to get it right. Why did you leave radio?
9 years. It was time to move on.
Yeah.
As a journalist, you've got a very short attention span. So 9 years is a good long time to be somewhere. Then I got an opportunity to get into PR, which I'd always wanted to do.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, so it's just a progression.
And you are still involved with radio
through
Algoa.
Yeah, yes, I'm still doing the publicity and helping out there. And years ago, I did a business program, business brief. Yeah, it's still sort of tangentially still involved with radio. And I mean, Algoa is doing a brilliant job. You know, in terms of connecting with the listeners and the way you're doing it, it's lovely to follow to speak to a Mio or to speak to an Alfie. Mio is the head of programs. Alfie is obviously the managing director. The science behind it and their thinking and the reasons they do things. You know, if a presenter's put in a new slot and the actual thinking behind that is actually
much that goes into it is taken for granted by the public.
Yeah. And
yeah. In terms of the future of radio, what do you see for the future?
Okay. The power of radio, and this is one of the first things I was taught by Chris Bennett actually, is that it's the only medium that happens inside your head. There's no other medium that happens inside your head. TV, there's a distance. Print, there's a distance. So if you think about it, you're looking at something on TV, you're looking at the moment, you've got the big earthquake in Turkey. You and I can talk about it. We'll look at it and we'll talk about it and say, look at that. We don't listen to what's happening on the TV. On print, I can read it to you, I can show it to you, or you give it to you. On radio, if there's somebody reporting it, we don't talk to each other. We both listen, because if we're talking to each other, we're not listening to them. So it actually gets right inside your head. And that's an incredible privilege as a broadcaster or as an advertiser or anybody else, that someone's invited you inside their heads. If you realize that, then you start working on your strengths as radio. And that's your presenters. They're friends. They're companions. They inform you. They entertain you. So all radio is entertainment. It's got to be entertainment, even as news. If it's not entertaining, people switch or they switch off. So you have to retain the entertainment, and you have to try and differentiate yourself from the podcasts, from the TV, from social media, from all those other things. But radio is free to air. Radio travels where you're going.
It's wonderful.
Radio is absolutely current.
It's such a powerful medium.
I mean, take your traffic reports. There's no other medium that can do a traffic report. A TV can't do it. Print can't do it. Maybe WhatsApp can do it, but you shouldn't be WhatsApping while you're driving.
The immediacy.
We saw through
COVID how radio grew. It became such a vital tool for folk.
Yeah, for information, for immediate information, and also for companionship. Mm-hmm. And entertainment.
Yeah.
So, this
is why we celebrate World Radio Day every single year on the 13th of February, because it is such a powerful medium. Ed, thanks so much for sharing your radio story with us. And I believe a podcast series together with Algoa FM is in the pipeline.
On the power of radio and how advertisers can use it, or how advertisers should be using it, and how anybody else who needs to communicate.
Thanks, Ed. Lovely chatting to you. Take care.
This is my radio story on Algoa FM.